We are back in studio where I belong. We did reverse roles last week. You were in studio and I was out.
Yeah, your dad.
Oh, man.
Your dad.
What a trip.
I told you I went to the SeaMart Resorts with my Aunt Dolores week before. Final show. I couldn't make that. And
I don't want to make you feel bad.
I know it was great.
You missed a good one.
I seen all the clips. He had Dawn, the two girls with him. Thelma, am I saying it right?
Thelma and Joyce.
Thelma and Joyce.
I tell you, it's, you know, I've seen a lot of shows of my dad, obviously. Thousands of shows.
Yeah.
I'm going to put that one in the top five of all time. And he's done some insane shows.
Cousin Brucey brought him on.
Cousin Brucey brought him on.
Oh,
so the first guy to bring him on when he was 16 years old.
Unbelievable.
And then the last guy to bring him on.
Oh, God.
To close his performing career.
64 years or there.
Yeah. That's incredible,
it's
right?
Incredible. And Cousin Brucey, I remember from when I was a kid, I didn't know your dad was that close to
him.
However, he also had Lee Greenwood on stage.
Lee Greenwood comes on and sings Proud to Be an American and then does it with my dad.
Did it with your dad.
You know, I opened for Lee Greenwood for a week in Branson. Yeah, I love Lee Greenwood.
Wow.
Lee Greenwood, do you know how old he is?
I didn't realize.
He's 82
unbelievable.
Years old and 50 looks
some years singing like
amazing.
58 years or something career.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, he's known your dad 50 years.
And he's the nicest guy you could ever want to meet.
So how did the documentary go? You guys were
We shot so much good stuff.
Did you?
Yeah, we sat down with Tom Cantone for 20 minutes.
You get Priscilla Presley?
Got Priscilla Presley.
Wow.
She actually said yes.
Yeah.
You know?
I heard her talking. I heard your dad introduce her.
Yeah.
I sent
Priscilla Presley was there. Bill O'Reilly came. Rita Cosby came.
Wow.
Kevin Jonas Sr.
Yeah.
With his wife came.
Yep. Nice. You had some nice people there.
Andy Kim. Who wrote Sugar Sugar?
Okay.
You know that song, Sugar
Sure.
Sugar?
Yep. Sugar Sugar.
Yeah.
I could sing.
Yeah, you carry it too. It was amazing. You know, there's something, you know, obviously my dad has been away from the girls for a long time. They've had a few reunion tours over the years, but for the most part, he's been a solo act.
Yeah.
It is 100% a different energy when those two girls hit the stage with him.
Oh,
it's just iconic to look at. They still sound amazing. The three of them together harmonized. Amazing.
I'm going to call him. I just wanted to give it a couple more days.
Yeah,
it's
funny. He called me yesterday and he said, I feel like a truck hit me.
Wow, good.
He did
I'm glad
press
I waited.
Leading up to it. He had a
Is
blast.
He back home?
He's back
Branson?
Home. Yeah.
Okay.
11,400 people, I think, was the final tally.
Nice. Wow. Nice.
You sent me some clips that were on YouTube. One of them got like 300,000 views of him and Dawn.
There's new clips even today on YouTube.
Yeah. It was amazing. It was a perfect, you know, at first I even told Tom Cantone this when I first told me they were wrapping up this tour at the Mohegan.
Right.
I kind of made a face. I was like, no, you got to close this out in Vegas. Like, you don't close this out.
No.
I was wrong.
Wrong. 11,000
Way seats? Wrong.
We have no venues here that he could have been.
No.
What's South Point hold? 1,200 people?
500.
500 people?
Yeah, and I forgot the East Coast love that he gets.
Forget it.
From New York, Jersey, and they can make it to the Mohegan.
Sure. And it's an arena.
Very reasonable seats. And it looked amazing. It was really special. It was.
So happy.
It was great. And then.
He makes everyone feel so special.
And then some great people sent in some videos that couldn't make it.
Oh. Okay.
Adam Sandler.
Oh, yeah.
Lionel Richie.
Oh, wow. Were they shown those videos?
Yes.
Wow.
Paul Anka.
Oh, wow. I didn't know this.
Chris Angel introduced him live from Vegas.
Yeah.
It was incredible. It was an incredible night.
Man.
He deserves it. He doesn't like to refer to himself as an icon or a legend.
Yeah.
But he 100% is one of that, and he's one of the last Mohicans in the old showbiz that you love.
Last of the Mohicans at the Mohegan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. You know, I just want to – we have a big guest today, Alan Boston, to talk about some March Madness stuff. I just have one quick thing.
Yeah.
I cashed out a voucher at a casino yesterday for $3,200. You know, I put $500 in, lost, cash out for $3,200. And went to go cash in at the cage, and I wish I would have recorded it. They gave me the hardest time, John.
Really?
They said, I need your player card. So I got my player card here. They looked it up. They said, where'd you win this at? Like, what machines? I said, well, you're looking at the screen. He said, yeah, but I have to get the shift manager to approve the ticket. I said, listen, I don't even have to give you ID or my player card. Give me my effing money. I was so mad.
Yeah.
You know, I just can't stand that this rule over $3,000.
It's crazy.
You know what I mean? That they just give you such a hard time. No one's giving you no hard time when you're losing money.
Right.
And I mean, I, you know, it just Something I wanted to talk about. People don't realize how hard at times you go through sometimes cashing a voucher here or cashing chips over $3,000.
Right. And sometimes you're in so many places, you're not going to remember the exact machine. Come on,
John,
man.
I keep vouchers from other casinos. It's easier than putting cash back in. I know I go every week because of my.
Right.
So I'll keep a $2,000 voucher. How about if I put the voucher in and went to $3,000?
Yeah.
And they're going to say to me, oh, wait a minute. This machine, you only want $1,000. Yeah. This is a $3,000 voucher. Yeah. Where'd you get this from? I mean, think about the things you have to go through.
And I have a lot of friends that play a lot of high stakes blackjack.
Yeah.
And they just carry around chips. They never cash the chips in.
That's what I mean.
To show up to a blackjack table with $50,000 in cash.
Yes.
That's 20 minutes.
Spot on. That's
it's
exactly
20
what
minutes
I mean.
Counting it out, stacking it.
You know you're going to be
back
next week.
He's going to verify it.
Yeah, you need some walking cash, cash a couple thousand.
Right.
Anyway, I wanted to just say that.
Yeah.
And let's bring the great Alan Boston on. He's waiting here in the wings. All right, guys, we have a good guest this week. I wanted him to come on like 24 hours before the show. I hit him up and he's on here. Welcome, Alan Boston. Thanks for joining us, Alan. You've been on before, and you've been in the studio doing your own podcast. John reminded me, which I thought was a great show. I watched that. That was that was like in this chair.
Yeah, yeah. He sat in that chair. Yep.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I had some great ideas, but I'm not in the loop with the modern world of technology, so I passed on future things. It's too bad. I have some really good ideas for vlogs or blogs, whatever you call them, and but I'm too old.
No, you're good.
You're not too old.
I'm old.
Listen,
that's reality. I'm 66 in August, bro. Like I'm getting up there.
Ten years older than us. Well,
yeah, but I didn't have computers when I was a kid. Like not at all. Like they didn't have calculators, and when they did, I didn't use them anyway because I figured it out faster than the calculator did.
Wait, did you just say they didn't have calculators?
Did not have calculators, right? They came.
What? Is that
they
possible?
They were in existence in high school.
Wait a minute. Is that that's a real? You're being serious?
That's fact. I wouldn't lie. Yeah.
Wait. Fact. When you were in school.
Oh, yeah.
No calculators.
No calculator?
When they came on, teachers wouldn't let me use them. Yeah, it was in high school that calculators came into being.
Wow. There you go.
I'm old, man.
Wow.
I didn't realize that you were old. Sorry. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, but whatever you're drinking there, though, good. Because he's old, but yet he's in unbelievable shape.
He's in crazy shape.
I think
he has
an ounce
shredded.
Of body fat on him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like ridiculous.
Yeah, there's body fat. Anyway.
I want to start out with this. I know you're the basketball guy, but Alan, you and I have been in Connecticut a couple times. I've been to Connecticut, of course. You live there, and you know, talking about some Advantage machines and stuff. We're not going to give away the house or anything here, but I wanted to tell you this because I know you'd be like, "What?" Two nights ago, general manager of a property downtown came over to me, handed me his card, and said, "Hey, you know, Bill Krakenberger, we really don't want you playing our machines."
Really?
I was playing a Frankenstein bonus machine.
Yep.
We talked
about that one on the show last week.
There's a bonus machine on. Alan knows it. It's kind of like one of my favorite machines. I actually just like the machine.
The blue and the red.
It's alive.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, the animation's amazing.
And I had to explain to the guy because he didn't realize. I had to explain to him that, you know, he's like, well, you know, guys like you come in when you're part of teams. I said, I'm no team. I'm a lone wolf. I'm no team. He goes, yeah, but you take away from our players, and our players, you know, should be hitting them. I said, well, your player built it up. This was a big machine. It was actually $30 and $50 a spin that was going to be played. It was so much that I thought about calling a partner in, but I said, you know what? They hit pretty quick. So, but 30 and 50 a spin, you don't see that. Alan will tell you, you don't see that at the Frankenstein. But so it had a 12x bonus, which we usually play around 10x, and on $30 a spin, and it had a 10x bonus on a $50 a spin. So once I hit him, the guy let me hit them both. I was cashing out. GM came over, gave me his card. I had to explain to him that someone lost money to get it to this level.
Right.
You know. He goes, yeah, but you take away from our regular players. I don't agree. I don't agree with him.
So now you're not allowed to win. They care about who wins.
They care about who wins. No. But, however, that's happening because it happened. I'll tell you, it happened at Green Valley Ranch.
Wow.
So, Green Valley Ranch, I went into High Limit. And I was doing this as an Ultimate X machine. And the guy's like, yo, you can't do that here. And I'm like, I have a credit line at the place, a large credit line I keep there. Like, don't tell me I can't do that. Throw me out. I was like telling them. And they were like, they will throw you out. So it's happening. MGM Mirage Properties actually threw a lot of the machine hustlers out. But you know what? Some of them they should throw out. Guys that stand behind and just hawk the machine and blow smoke at the customer and stuff.
Yeah.
And Alan knows what I mean. They're the ones I call the sour rooters on videos.
Yep.
We don't do that. We walk around and just check, and we don't wait to see if someone gets off the machine. Am I right, Alan?
Absolutely. I would welcome them throwing out these people who sit there and hover behind their good customers, and their good customers get uncomfortable. Many up in here at Foxwoods have complained to me, like, who are these people? Like, yeah, just walk around, and if something looks good, you play it. And by the way, don't play Frankenstein at 10X. It ain't enough.
Oh, it's not enough. How about you're Alan? Playing it too Alan late. Will yeah. tell the customer, I swear.
Really?
Yeah, he'll tell the customer, say, listen, don't get up from this machine. If he doesn't like the hustler behind
him. Oh, I've done that several times. If I see a hustler
waiting. He'll tell the customer, yeah. don't get up from the machine. You know, you want to hit this before you get up, which
really?
Is great. Yeah.
So is that a like, it will absolutely hit. This isn't, like, theory. This is – it will hit.
Yeah, it's a – you know, you have an edge. You have a mathematical
right.
edge. You can lose. Oh, Alan and I have had some ridiculous, stupid losing thing on, like, the wall. There's some stories I could tell you that you're not supposed to lose money, and Alan's lost $1,000 on that, on him and his partner. Like, you can't lose $1,000. It's impossible. But you just run bad,
it's
right?
It's a slot Alan? Machine, and you have unlimited possibilities over the length of time, and it sort of acts like this. So X number of dollars have been put into the machine. And they have, let's say, in Vegas, the strip takes like 14%, which is outrageous. I don't even know how you beat that, which means you really have to be careful with the – downtown's better. I think it's like 9% downtown, so you have a chance. But at a certain point, the amount of money you put in before it gets hit figures to be less than the amount of money you win on average. And on average is the big moment there because it means you can still lose. But on average, you're going to win at some point on these machines, and it's just computer-driven or mathematically driven.
That's a great explanation.
Wow.
And he's right, like the downtown.
Right.
I try not to do if I'm on the strip, I'll see something, but you have to put that in the equation, the 14%. Downtown, local casinos is even better. So it's probably Green Valley Ranch, the local properties. The new Durango has got tons of bonus machines. Tons.
Really?
And it's a standalone property, which means hustlers, you know, they don't get to walk to the next casino. You know that.
Yeah.
So on this.
Which one's this? Is this a new station?
Brand new stations.
Yeah,
one.
It's really nice.
They put in, no lie, they put in 60, 70 machines to check. 70.
I see them over there. That and the piggies, right? The piggies that get real fat.
Even he knows the piggies. Look
yeah.
at this. I never
they
told
get
him.
Real big, yeah, like a balloon.
That's a high variance
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
How'd you know that?
Because I see people waiting. I see the exact scenario you
yeah.
guys are talking about
oh,
where I see people playing and there's people hovering.
Yeah. There's
and,
about 60 of them over there. But there's brand new ones that people don't even know yet.
And
trust
then,
me, they don't know these
I don't want to say his name, but we know a fighter that we have in common.
Yeah.
And then his friend has the same name.
Oh.
And you know
wow.
that guy I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. And he plays, but he also knows about the slot thing, so he was explaining it to me.
It's hard to do, though. Listen.
Right.
Like,
it's not a guarantee.
It's hard to do. No, not because of that, because there's so many hot living. Let me just tell you something. Where he is, I want to tell you something. Foxwoods, when I was there anyway, it was Hustler Central.
Really?
There was so many there. I don't know, but yet. You guys do get your plays on the weekends, though, right? You can get some good plays in walking
yeah,
around.
Yeah, I've kind of like given up on it. It's just it's not worth it
because of the
I'm
hustle.
Not willing to sit there. I'm not yeah. willing to sit there and hover. I walk around. And,
I walk around. Yeah.
You know, I take one loop around. If I see something, I see something. If I don't, I don't. Now I have to. I'm also not the most disciplined human on the planet. So if something's close and I have no play, I might just sit down and play it. And now you've just blown it, right? If you run bad on that one play because it's close, it ain't gonna work.
So he's saying he's giving back
yep.
on a, yep. maybe something that might be negative EV, but it's close to break
right.
even, you know?
Yeah, I'm gambling. And
gambling.
You can't gamble on this stuff because your edge is so small anyway. You still have to run good, right?
Yeah,
That's the whole thing. There's certain machines, actually. This is actually interesting. You figure to lose when you play it. It's a good play, but you figure to lose.
But at one time this year, earlier
you
in the
you figure to lose.
You did really
the times
good
you lose,
last
the times
year.
You win overcome the amount you lose. So you're
right.
going to lose small or win big.
Right.
So you're going to lose 90% of the time when you sit down and play one of these Wolf Run things. Or it's just like, why are you playing it then? Because mathematically, it's still worth it.
Right. I saw a thing this morning. I don't know if it's final. We talked about this a few weeks ago, but I think it now maybe it went through. They did raise the hand pay from $1,200 up to
not that
whatever.
I know of.
Oh, I saw a thing on Instagram today. Maybe
really? No.
They should eliminate it.
They
eliminate the hand pay?
Well, they should go to $5,000.
$5,000. Why does the government have to know when you win $1,200 on a slot machine? Seriously. That doesn't even make a car payment anymore. Like, they're so crazy. And you think they actually have people investigating these slot slips. They have millions.
There's
of
so
them.
Many of them. Millions. Even yeah. like the CTRs. People are afraid to get CTRs, currency transaction reports. There's so many of them every day
right.
in a casino. I worry about not getting them. I want to get them. I don't want to be accused of structuring. I'll cash 12,000 in chips. Of course.
Right.
I don't care about the CTR.
Right.
But some people, all right, let's get to basketball. Yeah. Allen, let me just tell you something. Allen has had a very good season this season.
Really?
When, you know, you got to remember now, this he doesn't, he's not a computer guy. He's still got the spirals right. and the old
He's
notebook.
Got a notebook. I know. I've seen it.
Multiple notebooks.
I've
not,
seen
not
it.
Notebook. Here, look. Look. Look up. Yeah. No. I mean.
The Bible.
Yeah. Look at that. Look at that.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
It hasn't changed.
That's
all players and
to one. That's my big modern day approach.
So, right. Allen, so what? Okay, like that. All
that's
that
amazing.
scribble I'm looking at. That's all players and what they've been doing and all that.
That's
kind of
the schedule of each team.
You have.
So at the top's the team.
Right.
At the top's the team. To the top left is how many starters are returning. Below that is how many players are returning. Above the team is the point guard projected. To the right of it is last year's rating and the year before's rating and the year before's rating at season's end. And then below that is the schedule with date on the left and then the team they're playing, either home or road. And then a column for my power rating and then a column for the closing power rating. The final score with any notes that I have in it and my projected power rating to start and the how it changes during the year. That's
right,
on the
so
power rating.
I'm glad you just made sure you said that. So your power rating, this isn't, you're not, this is all, you're taking all the numbers and all the stats and you're coming up with your assigning.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
He doesn't work with no one else.
No.
Like, he doesn't. Well, I mean, he did over the years. I shouldn't say, you didn't work with no one this year, right?
No, was on my own.
So Allen, how often when you'd see like ESPN will rank teams and power ratings, they come up with their own. How often do you disagree with what they put out?
Probably if I watch it 100% of the time.
Yeah, no, I didn't think you ever watched anything.
No, I'm not. Yeah, no, that's just fact.
So can like, I ask you a quick base?
I'm more accurate than they are, I assure you.
Definitely.
Do you
that's not bragging. That's just fact. I do it for a living. They do it for fun. Right.
And do you?
And also, they might have an agenda. You know, they just may have an agenda as
sure.
to who they want to pump up, right?
And do you do the same thing with baseball?
No, I just bet college basketball. That's it.
Never base. You don't even follow baseball at all?
Don't follow it. I hate it, actually. It was my favorite sport growing up, too. I absolutely love baseball.
Too.
Wait, so why'd you leave?
Being a baseball player, but
it's
hard
to beat. Just, too hard to beat. Am I right?
No, I don't enjoy it anymore. That's more of a computer-driven thing. I've done basketball my whole life, but to do baseball, I can't imagine doing it without a computer.
I was hoping he did baseball too, because I want to know why the Rangers are 15-1.
Yeah, it's kind of.
Well,
I seen him higher. I seen him 18-1. World Series champs are 18-1.
How
to
is
1.
That? I feel
like
it has to be
did
wrong.
Did they lose pitching? Did they lose? It's interesting. Yeah, you're right.
18-1 is not a lot to win a World Series.
But I mean, defending champs.
How many teams are there?
Yeah,
30.
Oh, yeah.
When was the last time someone repeated?
That's
yeah,
a good question.
Fair enough.
That's a good question.
Yeah, but teams like the Dodgers are all the teams that were close last year. They're still favorites, like they were at the beginning of last year's
season.
Yeah,
they're going to be. They're public teams.
They're probably
the Dodgers.
Technically better.
Yeah, and they're probably they are better too. They are sure the talent level on
the
Dodgers.
The best team doesn't always win, right?
Right. It's, who gets hot and who stays
so
healthy?
Who's perceived as the best team or who technically has the most talent?
Right.
That doesn't mean you're the best team because you have the most talent.
Yeah.
It just means you have the most talent.
Okay, so, I didn't mean to get off
the
basketball.
It matters.
Yeah.
So, Allen, this year, good season, winning season. You're betting. Are you betting a lot of your stuff overnight, or are you betting a day of the game too? What would you say percentage wise, like 75% overnight?
I try to bet when. So I had a very. I would say the year went well because, not having someone move your games, it's much easier to do it on your own. You have no pressure of giving someone else a winner. You don't have to wait for them to make the bet. You don't have to worry about, is the line going to move? I can do what I want when I want, and so be it if I'm wrong. It's on me. It's not on someone else. So there's that whole dynamic of being hand-tied by waiting for them to have to bet the game or worrying, what if you give them a wrong pick or something?
That's
all
you have.
Yeah. So,
there's a comfort zone
right.
in doing it on my own. So when DraftKings or FanDuel right. open the line, I bet. I had my numbers ready, and I bet.
Layman's terms, though, what he's saying, though, just so you know, too.
Yeah.
See, he had people that he couldn't bet, even though he had the game the night
because
before.
Because they need
plus
to be able
three.
To bet. His players
the
buying
next,
the picks
no,
need to
he,
be able to bet.
No. He doesn't. No. He has a boss that was moving games for him, but it wasn't until the next day, 8 a.m.
Oh.
So now it's overnight, and then let's just be blunt. There was groups that were going in the night before and stealing the line, you know, betting it because they
yep.
agreed with that. And he was losing out a large percentage of
oh,
his
wow.
games, of his plays, because he doesn't want to bet a bad line. So they were waiting until the next day. Now he doesn't have that. No pressure.
Yeah, they come out of DraftKings. They had about a shit ton of money, and I don't. I have to bet what I have in my pocket, which isn't a heck of a lot. So, but no, I made it work. No, this was a very, I had quit basically, and someone offered me a deal that was very good. And after 3 days, I told them, I don't think this is going to work out. So, you know, thanks for the try. And here I am on my own. I had turned down a job in Florida that I was going to take because I was going to do the basketball. And after 3 days, I'm on my own with very little money. So this has been a very, very rewarding year. I've actually crushed it this year.
Yeah, no,
good for you.
I can't say that. Like, I'm not saying that to brag. That's just fact. I've had an absolute home run year. And whether I bet early or late, I've been right. And I think a lot of that is the comfort of it's on me. It's not on someone else. That's everything I do is my fault or my good.
Right.
Even in the tournament, right? You did good in the tournament. It's harder to beat once the tournament goes. I mean, later in the season, you won first two rounds, right?
I had a bad Saturday, but other than that, I won the other days, yes. It's been very good. And the NIT has been good. Even the CBI and the CIT, I've had a couple winners there. Yeah, it's just my work's been very, very good. And it's self-perpetuating. You know, I'm not a computer. I'm a human being.
Right.
So this got to be, if you start picking winners, there's that comfort level where you know you're right. And even if you're wrong, you've been right 9 out of 10 times or 8 out of 10 times or 6 out of 10 times. And that's very comforting to know that, all right, I was wrong this time, but it doesn't mean I was really wrong. So you just go with what your work has produced without any questioning.
Yeah.
So you go in very assured with every bet, and winning just perpetuates that. It's very self-perpetuating, right? So I was in a positive cycle pretty much from day one here.
Out of the teams that are left, is there a coach, a specific coach that you have your eye on that you like?
I'd have to go over who's left. Yeah, Hurley clearly knows what he's doing at UConn. Like,
oh, sure.
The one hole that Hurley had in his game was last year's team. The half court kind of was shoddy at best. But he's completely ironed that out this year. They got 4 great shooters and around the big guy, and they spaced the floor extremely well. They take mostly good shots now, where that wasn't always the case with play teams. Even going back to his prior stops, Rhode Island, Buffalo. So that's all ironed out. So basically this team has no holes. They have a great point guard. They have rim protection. They have great shooting, which is, you know, important in today's world. And, you know, they're going to be very, very difficult to beat.
So do you see them winning it, Alan?
They're the favorite for sure. They're 2 over the next team minimum, maybe even more. I just don't want to upgrade them anymore because it's hard to imagine a team could be that good. Yeah. They're one of the highest rated teams ever since I've been doing this. Wow. Maybe even the highest rated. I don't remember a team higher, actually.
Yeah, this year all the
This is it. They're the do-all and all right now.
Yeah. This year, all the number ones and number twos made this week Sweet 16. So it's kind of, not that it's unusual, but that is unusual,
right.
I guess.
It's usually an upset somewhere.
Yeah. Do you think that has something to do with, like, the talent gap between the big power schools and the mid-majors, or just the way it played out?
I think it was more they got the 1 and 2s right for a change. That was it. And you know, some of them got fortunate with teams getting knocked out, so the draws got a little easier. And what we saw this year with the underdogs winning in the first round came to a screeching halt in the second round. And a lot of that, I talked about it on a prior show, but not with you, so I can repeat it a little bit. For years, it was very difficult for an underdog to win a Thursday, Saturday, or a Friday, Sunday game because you put all that energy into pulling the upset. Now you have one day to prepare for a team that will now take you more seriously because you just pulled an upset. And the whole dynamic of having that edge emotionally because the underdog is wiped out. Also, you've put all that effort into winning one game, and what do you have left of this next game? When it became a big business, all that went out the window. These teams played their start to finish home run game all the way through. This year, it's reverted back to that more humanity type thing. It went from human to machine. Like, college basketball was originally kids going to college and playing for the love of the game. When it became a big business, it became something different. Where these kids picked a sport, played it 365 days a year, and played their asses off day in and day out because the coach would get fired, or because that, you know, they were just driven to that point by a coach who was going to get fired if he didn't win X number of games because it was so much money involved. So it was no longer for the love of the game, it was for the love of the money. And they became more machine-like. This year, where they're making money, I believe, they've gotten back to being a little bit more human. So you put all that effort into a Thursday game, it's almost like mission accomplished, and you don't have they're more human. They've fallen off a little bit than on Saturday or Sunday on the short rest. That won't be the case this weekend. I would say underdogs have a good chance on the Thursday, Friday games this week, but it may go right back to normal on the Saturday, Sunday games.
Literally just answered my
question. I don't
question
know if that makes sense, but that's...
You just answered his question.
You just answered my next question without me even asking it.
That was great.
I was going to ask you how much. Right? I was going to ask you how much the game has changed from, you know, when you first started watching it compared to now.
It's evolved a lot. I mean, when I first started, it was a 45-second clock, and it was free money. And teams, unlike now, where they've completely butchered the last 30 seconds of these games over and over and over, it's been... Coaches should be ashamed of themselves. Some of these last 30 seconds of games are embarrassing.
Why? What do you mean?
Well, for instance, the Oregon coach has a freshman inbounding to a 50% foul shooter. What's he doing on the court? You're ahead too.
Ridiculous.
What's the freshman doing on the court? If you're shaking your head when he inbounds to the guy shooting 50%, what's the guy shooting 50% doing on the floor? Yeah, he's your best defender, so get him off, make the foul shots, and then get him back on the court. Call a timeout. If you don't have a timeout, so be it. It's more important to score two than to have a defensive guy on the court in case you miss.
Terrible loss for the bettors.
Yeah.
You're getting 5 points.
Yeah,
right.
Double overtime. Oh, terrible. Did I had
plus six. That was my biggest bet, actually, probably the tournament.
He had maybe the only six. No, seriously.
Yeah, that's what DraftKings opened it.
I know it's only a point.
It matters.
Deal.
Right.
That's the difference with Allen this year compared to previous years. He could take the six. But in previous years, he couldn't touch that six.
Right.
He's hoping other places copy it, and his boss gets it the next day.
Right.
That's not going to happen.
Right.
So, and where I got
and over time, over a season, forget
ridiculous.
It. You're buried.
It's the key numbers too. He's the man that taught me about key numbers. He did.
Yeah.
Listen, the guys from Pinnacle taught me a lot of stuff too about key numbers. But key numbers in college basketball, he's the guy that taught me about key numbers. Can we get into that a little bit or no? What do you think?
Your show. I just hope that whole human thing made sense.
Complete sense. Complete sense.
Yeah.
Right. It's if anything you do when you if you're a 10 handicap in golf and you shoot you've been a 10 handicap your whole life and you shoot a 72, you're not shooting 72 the next day, bro. You're falling off the map probably.
Amazing.
Because you either used up all your luck or you used up all your energy and that's what I mean. Their energy got sapped a little bit in these Thursday Friday games. Whereas when they were machines, when it was the do-all, end-all every game, before they got paid money, I think that it was they were just more driven throughout. Anyway.
I don't know.
Go ahead. Key numbers.
I don't know who you like in this game, but let's say you like the Illinois versus Iowa State.
I do. I took three.
Oh, there you go. Look.
I would have taken two.
Wow.
One and a half. But I wanted to know, if I was to bet this game now, I want Illinois. Why am I buying it to two? What's the reason why I'm spending 10 cents and buying it to two?
It is my belief, and computers may disagree with this, that if you're on the right side of things, if you pick, let's say, 60%, which is extraordinary, you're shooting for 56%. That's what sports better shoot for, 56%. But if you know, let's say you pick 60, then, you know, just to make it simple. Oh, great. My mother's calling. Oh, boy. Sorry.
You want to take it? We'll break for a second.
No. Okay. I got it. So, first of all, it is my belief that you buy from a half a point onto a hole. So, I would buy from 1.5 to 2, but not 2 to 2.5. I would buy 3.5 to 3, but not 4 to 3.5.
Yep.
Because when you buy 1.5 to 2, when the game falls 2, you have saved the bet and the juice. So you've saved $11 by buying to two because you would have lost $11 if you took 1.5. Whereas if you buy 2 to 2.5 and the game falls 2, you win $10. You haven't. So you've already automatically gained 10% by buying the half to the whole. That's my simple logic. I could be mathematically wrong, but that's my simple logic. So you're always saving a bet and juice by buying from the half to the whole. Part two is I think a computer will tell you that buying two is probably worth about 10 cents. However, that's assuming coin flips. And if you pick 60%, then you're only losing that extra 10 cents 40% of the time.
Mm.
So mathematically, what that computer says, where 10 cents is now worth 12 cents or 13 cents. So also, there's part three to this. that losing by half a point is absolute fucking torture. And if you can avoid that at all costs, you do it. So you buy every half point you can, whether it's worth it or not. That's just my belief.
We always bought onto the
That's my simple, logical, mathematical thing that I believe to be true. So I buy all the time, except I can't where I am. And it's cost me a lot of money this year. That's the one negative I have is they charge 15 cents to buy, and I won't pay 15 cents.
God, that's terrible. Both FanDuel and DraftKings.
If you're just a layman buying 10 cents, it's probably not worth it. I think if you're a winning player, you should buy 10 cents.
Right. And would
that's
you
my
recommend
simple logic that doesn't have to be right.
But now, to give the public, we're gonna tweet out a little short of this. Would you out of the games on Thursday? Let's start with Thursday. Would you still take Illinois plus two minus 20?
For a little bit, yeah.
For a little bit,
I think they're going to win the game. I think they're a better team. I think Iowa State's rating has been jacked up because they're very good at creating big margins out of smaller edges. So they're being an 8-point favorite. They'll win by 12-14. The way their style of play, they're just unrelenting, and anytime they have an edge, it gets magnified by how they play. When you line up against someone who's athletically similar or even better in this instance, you don't have an edge, and now your rating is no longer that inflated rating that it once was. So even though I have this game picked in my head and in my gut, Illinois is the better team and likely to win. So, yes, nice. I'd be on Illinois plus two minus 20 for something.
What else do you have this week that you can give our listeners?
I bet viewers? Alabama plus 4.5, and I laid 15. Now it's 4.5 flat around.
DraftKings has plus five.
Yeah, simple price comparison. North Carolina was 4 over Michigan State, was down 24-12 in that game, and then Michigan State just couldn't make a shot. They got a lot of good shots. They just missed one after another, and eventually the game got away from them. Alabama, rating-wise, has been better than Michigan State virtually the entire year. And if North Carolina's 4 over Michigan State on the close, they can't be 4.5 over Alabama on the close. That's my simple way of approaching it. And, in fact, the reality is I made the game 1. So I'd be betting it anyway, just off my power rating. But that's probably why I like it in some succinct type explanation.
All right. How about any of the other games?
The only problem with Alabama is they're not the most athletic team in the world. And teams that are hyper-athletic, a la North Carolina, will probably give them fits. However, Nate Oates is a far superior coach, and I think he'll have that all worked out. So I think Alabama has a good chance to win this game.
All right. And the other 6 games, you like anything else? Have you bet anything else?
I bet Marquette minus 6.5. I bet a lot on that.
Okay.
NC State for 30 games stunk. And then NC State for like 30 games this year stunk. And then they caught fire in the ACC tournament. However, they beat either apathetic teams or B, got a miracle against Virginia to get here. When they got to the tournament, Texas Tech played about as poised as they could. Props to North Carolina State, the kid. The center Burns is an absolute monster. However, his surrounding cast isn't great. I don't think the coach is any kind of wizard. And I think Marquette's like in a different league than this team. And I think this team will play. I don't think they've ever been any different than the team that was nowhere near making this tournament, that caught fire winning 5 out of 5. They should have lost to Oakland. Oakland completely botched the last 15 seconds. And in fact, didn't have a great day shooting either, Oakland. So Oakland, although albeit a whole different team than Marquette, is certainly not in Marquette's league. And I really don't see how NC State has an avenue to hang in this game. I think it's a blowout. And wow. I laid 6.5 for quite a bit. And my price on my line on the game is 9. That's what I made it. So
I have to give we have to give a little shout out here to Chris Andrews over at South Point. They have 0-5 juice on all the games. So that doesn't sound like not a big deal,
right?
But for every $100, you lay in 105 instead of 110.
Right, right.
Like 6.5 minus 05.
What an awful idea trying to get business during the NCAA tournament. That's
yeah.
We won't go into what's wrong with over there, right? So
right,
we'll
right.
skip that
in general. Yeah.
Yeah.
We need what Jersey has. Even they don't have it there. The head-to-head, what do they call those things, like Betfair, but they have the legal ones in profit exchange, and it's 101 juice, 101 on both sides,
right?
And it's 1%. So you're laying 102, and supposedly everyone loves it over there because there's a lot of markets. The market makers in Jersey are putting up, like, every game you could bet tens of thousands if you want, minus 101.
Really?
So you're saving 8 cents. You're saving 8 cents for every $100 that you lose.
Right.
You're saving $8. So we really need that nationwide. something to DraftKings needs competition over there. They need something else, some other comp. Of course, you're not going to buy. You're not going to battle with their marketing budget they have. But
they have their people entrenched here for years. They have their lobbyists up here, and
that's it.
They get all the laws written to benefit them and FanDuel, and it's an entire. Anytime the government gets involved, things are going to get fucked up. So yeah. Our government is completely ridiculous, like incompetent, actually. But
DraftKings is good. They're good to you over there, though. They're pretty good to you, right, Alan? DraftKings is pretty good to you over there, though, right?
I have no complaints about DraftKings except for their app lets me bet $50.
Yeah, no, that's ditto.
Right.
Ditto.
They cut me down to $50 after I won for a week. A week.
Right. Right.
Wow. Even in tennis, where I'm just stone cold gambling, $20 they let me bet on some tennis match today. So yeah, I do have some
for them. He's really,
maybe if DraftKings worried more about how to book properly rather than who to throw out of their app, they'd be a lot better off. But they're not going to do that because they don't have the brains for that, in my opinion.
How about FanDuel? They take bets for me on the
they're
app.
They're worse. They like the Gestapo.
Oh, they're not taking like $500 from you?
No, FanDuel's letting me bet fine on their app.
Oh, that's what I said. FanDuel.
Complaints about that, but try what they've tried to do to some customers up here. We don't need to get into the stories.
Yeah.
But they're out now trying to rob people.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they can go fuck themselves too. Like they really are disgusting people.
All right. So listen. Now that
these places are disgusting. That's what happens when you're entrenched in government and you have monopoly. You think you can do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah, it is a monopoly over there. But so Marquette, Alan's using some big words there. I love that when he says that. Blowout. This is blow them out. Yeah. They should blow them out. So Marquette.
Well, I hope they do. I bet my money.
Yeah. Marquette, right. Illinois, and Alabama are the three teams you have for the
right. The Alabama line's gone, but those are the three I bet. And if you put a gun to my head, I if you want me to do a little brief bit on the other games,
Well, everyone wants to know Duke Houston. Everyone wants to know. People are asking me all week long.
Well, we'll get to it. Why don't I just go on the order here? I got UConn. UConn played San Diego State in the finals last year. They were a 7-point favorite and covered rather handily. They are better this year, and San Diego State's worse. Hence the line of 10.5, 11. But as a bonus, San Diego State gets to travel 3,200 miles to Boston, and Connecticut gets to take a bus ride to Boston. So that dynamic will favor Connecticut also. I don't see a lane, although San Diego State is a great dog. They control tempo. They're very well coached. Dutcher does a great job. Connecticut just is in such a league of their own that, and they've seen San Diego State stuff before that I would expect them to win rather comfortably. I didn't lay it because the line is pumped up, but I would expect them to win handily.
Okay.
The Illinois game we did, North Carolina we did, and now leads Clemson, Arizona. That's kind of an interesting game. Arizona's been Jekyll and Hyde. They've been apathetic at times during games, and when they've been on their game, when they're actually trying to play defense, they've been very, very tough to deal with. Clemson, to me, visually has been the best team in this tournament. They've been mega impressive. Their win over New Mexico was awesome. The first 5 minutes of the second half against Mexico was the best basketball I've seen in this tournament. Not that I'm some scout or X's and O's guys, but I've watched enough to know a little bit. And then Baylor, they ran out to a big lead there, and Baylor now amps it up, makes their run at them, and Clemson had the wherewithal to hang in there and play well to finish it out. So they've been very, very impressive. The coach, Brunell, is fantastic. I'm not overly impressed with Arizona at all times, and if you put a gun to my head, I'd bet Clemson probably on the money line, just in case Arizona has one of their Hyde games rather than their Jekyll games, or whichever way it's supposed to be. So I lean to Clemson. I think the line is priced about right. But that's my succinct view of that. Houston, Duke's a bunch of pussies, and they're not going to like dealing with Houston's defense. I think this line is what it should be. I think the line is only slightly low, but Houston's going to kill them, I think. And I'll probably bet something on them at some point just because my gut says they're going to run them out of the gym. I've not been impressed with Duke at all. Very, very disappointing team, actually. I thought Shire was a home run hire. He was the Jewish Michael Jordan. He was a very smart basketball player, but he hasn't been a very good coach so far. And I thought it'd be a big upgrade from Coach K, who I was not a fan of, but he has not been. And, they shot the lights out against an overmatched James Madison team, who fell prey to that being human where they had that huge win over Wisconsin and collapsed in a heap in the next game. So I think it was more about James Madison just not having it rather than Duke having it. They were completely overmatched Vermont and yet struggled to get away from them. They were really just, they're just not visually very, very appealing. And like I said, they're a bunch of pussies. So I would expect Houston to get them at some point. NC State Marquette's been discussed. Purdue Gonzaga, another rematch, actually. They played in Hawaii earlier in the year, and it was a very tough game, which Purdue finally got away from them. But Gonzaga's gotten that line was what I actually won that game. I think that game closed 4.5. I think that game closed 4.5. Yeah, that's from memory. It might have closed 5, and it was a tough game. And Purdue eventually got away from them like mid second half, I believe. But Gonzaga's gotten a lot better since then. They were playing some freshmen, and it's Mark Few who absolutely knows what he's doing. And Purdue hasn't found the matchup to, like, Utah State was hanging with Purdue, and then they lost their minds. They stopped running offense. They started taking bad shots. And that's a recipe for disaster against any good team. And Purdue is a very, very good team. And they haven't had a team to expose their lack of athleticism at the guard spot. And Gonzaga probably won't be able to do that either. But having played once and having played them tough, Gonzaga's playing at a better level now, much better. You know, maybe there's some value taking 5.5 there. I'm not betting it, but that's the only side I'd have. And finally, who's this? Creighton versus Tennessee. Yep. All right. So this one, again, just watching the teams play, I made the game 3.5 Tennessee, so there's no bet on that. However, when I watched the Tennessee-Texas game, Tennessee looked like they were 3 touchdowns better. They were 1-for-21 at three-point land at some point. And, of course, we know Creighton got that absolute miracle to beat Oregon. Tennessee's a whole different level of athleticism, and Creighton's coach, McDermott, is terrific. However, when they face superior talent that's not on their home court, like they did to Connecticut, who they blew out their home court, they could be in for a little bit of trouble. They went to UNLV in their area and got run out of the gym. Even Colorado State ran them out of the gym, which maybe isn't fair because the home road disparities this year have been extreme. But visually, it looks like Tennessee is just too good for this team. And if you put a gun to my head, I'd be laying 3 with Tennessee. And that's just from watching, not from anything else. My price is 3.5, so it's absolutely no bet. But
good deal.
If the game went down, I could see betting Tennessee on some cheap money line, maybe.
Okay, cool.
Betting on Rick Barnes against Greg McDermott I'd probably have to hang myself if I lost, but oh well.
Anything for tomorrow's NIT or CBI that you bet?
I bet tonight, yeah. Tonight I bet let me see what the lines are.
Okay. Let's see.
Pulling a screen up very quickly.
Oh yeah, that's tonight. I'm sorry. I'm thinking tomorrow, yeah. High Point Seattle.
Yeah, so both the games. I bet both these dogs. I bet High Point +1.5, and I bet Norfolk State +1.5. I bet more on High Point. Norfolk State's point guard didn't play last game, and he was, I think, the leading scorer in the conference. But that coach is very good. He's done some really good things there, and they made the tournament last year. I remember they, in fact, the year I did the podcast at John's place. By the way, you guys did a really good job, so thanks for that.
Yeah, it was great.
When I did it there, I talked about Robert Jones and Norfolk State and his ever-changing defenses and how the first 5 minutes of the game against Gonzaga, they actually impressed me. They got what they wanted and did a good job defending Gonzaga. So this team has been through, has faced some tough situations before. And I think they, you know, I actually made them the favorite in this game, but that point guard being a little iffy makes me a little suspect, but I think, I like that coach and I like that team. And I think they got a good shot tonight. And the other game, both these teams are very good. This is like a really high level, lower tier tournament, this High Point Seattle game. Both coaches, if these high programs knew what they were doing, would be looking to hire these guys. The High Point guy probably did the best job in the country this year. He is, in my view, the coach of the year.
Wow.
Some dead program that they're playing to a lower tier Big Ten rating. How's that? Like they would be better than some of the teams in actually they would be. They'd be better than some of the teams in the ACC. So they wouldn't be like completely out of their realm. And if they played in the ACC, that's how good High Point was this year.
Wow.
I Seattle hung with Grand Canyon, in fact, beat Grand Canyon, and then hung with them at Grand Canyon, and they've been very, very impressive this year. But by my ratings, I have High Point rated higher, and so I bet them.
So High Point, and Norfolk, right? Those two. Dogs?
That's who I bet. I bet High Point for more than Norfolk.
Okay, well, I'll see if I can.
Just because of the point guard situation makes it a little dicey,
and he
definitely matters.
Yep. And
the coach said in the press conference that he's probably going to play. So, but he didn't know if he'd be 100%.
Alan, what did you take on Alabama and North Carolina?
I took 4.5 late 15, and now you can do better.
Yeah, you can. So it's still a play then. Yeah.
So that one I screwed up.
No.
But that's what you do.
It's still a play then. I know. I wanted to make sure because earlier you said it was.
Oh yeah, yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. Marquette and Alabama are still out there for the
best line in the country is at DraftKings +5/-15. Just to let you know.
Wow. Right.
Yeah.
Is it really? I'll have to go bet more then.
Yeah. Oh God, I'm enticing more bets. Alan, great.
No, because I could always just lay 4.5 and get off. That way, I'm like buying the half a point right. Without. If they lost by 5, I'd be really.
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah. No,
like, I don't mind kissing away juice to make sure I don't lose by half a point. Yeah. That's how important it is to me.
Alan, congratulations on a great season, and I'm really happy because, you know, there's so many people that root against us. Me too, but so many people that root against us on an everyday basis.
Yeah, fuck them.
Because they're so miserable in their own lives.
Yeah.
Understand that. I don't, what joy do you get out of knocking somebody or trying to tear somebody down? Have they ever met you or I?
No.
These people talk. Have they ever met us?
Not a word.
Right.
No, telephone tough guys. Not a word. Internet right. Tough guys under fake names.
Yeah.
But
so who cares what they say? They're idiots.
Yeah. No, you had a really good season. I'll tell you, before we go, let me just tell you. So Alan and I were working together about 5 years ago, maybe more, maybe 6 years ago. We ran bad. I'm telling
maybe,
you.
Maybe more. You better rethink your years. Was it
more than that?
We're getting old, man.
Was it really?
I was in my house, right?
Yeah.
Well, that was 10 years ago. That was in my house.
God. 10 years ago. Okay.
I am telling you.
Like a record bad run?
We ran bad and destroyed it. But But Alan was so mad every night. I was like, Alan, we're up 60 units.
Wait, I don't understand.
Because the end of the game, we were on a ridiculous run of end game, the last 3 minutes, the last 2 minutes, minute of a game, getting fouled. We should have won 100, over 100 units. We won like 60.
That was a good year. But again, we got to bet overnight and hide it.
Oh, we did.
So we got to bet overnight and not touch the screen. Yeah. So I was able to bet without letting anyone know. And it's like free money. Like
we destroyed
if I can't
it.
Beat that, then.
Wow.
We destroyed it. More than 60.
And we also had Mr. Walters maybe in the game, maybe doing some manipulating to help us out too.
Yep.
And we could hide it so we wouldn't get in his way, which is like the best of all worlds. Yeah. In other words, running bad means you're taking 5.5, you're down one with 30 seconds to go, and you don't cover.
That's running bad
in endgame.
We did that 40 times.
Oh, my
I'm
God.
I'm not joking.
Lose by 8 in overtime, taking 6.
There.
Like the Creighton game against the Oregon Creighton game was a horror show.
Well, listen, Alan, we're going to have you on again. Thanks for coming on with us. I'm going to see if I can get a clip out for tonight's game real quick for tonight's two games. Actually, one starts in an hour and a half. That'll be tough. But
when are you coming up here?
What's that?
When are you coming up here?
I don't know. You know, I have some tickets to cash now since last time I was there. So probably.
Let me know. I'll make dinner reservations.
Oh, that's another thing. Alan finds the top dinner places.
Like, really?
Alan, where do we go on the water? That really nice. I felt
the Ocean House.
Ocean House. Like I'm
free to travel.
It's the only five-star hotel. It's the only five-star hotel in Rhode Island.
Bill, you shouldn't be traveling by yourself all the way out there.
Yeah,
I should be coming.
John,
with you.
You should come with us. Yeah,
I'm in.
No, he.
Well, you can get a room there. You can get a room there that's like designed by some world class designer for like $3,500 a night if you want.
Yeah, that's the. Kind
we don't
of
need to go that crazy.
Yeah.
Dial it down a notch.
He has some great spots.
The place is really special. The Ocean House is really special, and they don't rob you for the food. Like I really love that place. The food is amazing, and they don't rob you. And you're looking out over the ocean. And they do it right. It's like old school dining.
I'm in.
It was
I'm
so
in.
Good. It
was Tell
so
me
good.
When.
All right, Alan. I'll look forward to seeing you, and we'll talk to you. Thanks for coming on.
All right, be good.